Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
Now, we're going to look at living like Andrew. So I don't know how much you know about the disciple Andrew, but I think he is the epitome of what we all do. And when I say we, I mean those of us who are not in healthcare per se, and all of you who are healthcare professionals in some capacity, many of you aren't doing it full time. You're doing things for the kingdom for healthcare professionals. And so when I last came here, I thought y'all were doctors, like 3 years ago in my interview, and I spoke at chapel. I'm like, oh, everybody's doctor, but that was not the case. And those of you online, some of you are, you're in practice. But I really think we serve as kind of an Andrew in our role. So every instance I see of Andrew in the New Testament, he's in the shadow of his brother Simon, who we know as Peter, right? I know a lot of siblings who live in the shadow of their brother. We don't know if they're older or younger. But what's interesting about Andrew is that Jesus had more than one go-to guy in addition to Peter, right? He's got James and John. Those two are brothers, sons of thunder. And Peter's the rock. And Andrew's probably looking over the crowd going, hey guys, what about me? What about me? He's the brother of the guy who's in the top three. Like, why did he not get included, right? He could be asking that question. So Andrew didn't make the cut. I imagine if he probably received the, hey, aren't you Peter's brother? You know, did he deny him, I wonder? I don't know. Well, let's take a look. John 1, 35. The next day, John was there again with the two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. So two disciples of John the Baptist. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you'll see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. I find the question, where are you staying, is one that we as regional directors ask quite frequently. Like, where do you live? Or where do you, you guys, we get to see what God's doing to be the hands and feet of all of what you're doing. I cannot tell you how many times that as I travel, it's, oh, I talked to so-and-so in the office, and they're like, they know you better than they know me sometimes. Oh, they're amazing, aren't they? You know, so it's really fun to know people. Bill said, you know, what do you guys want to get out when you come to Bristol? And I said, I want to get to know the new people because we are connected and we're all serving together in capacity. So I'm going to share you some pictures and stories about what you're doing in the West, which is the Rockies and West, all the way to Madagascar, apparently. So they go and spend time with him, 4 in the afternoon. So where are you staying? I think that's better said, because I don't want to ask somebody that. That'd be weird. Let me connect to others where you will be. Let me connect others where you will be. That's a question that we're really trying to answer for so many of our healthcare professionals, right? CMDA is community and advocacy and service and equipping. And we live in community. So if we live in community as RDs, we're saying, how can I connect you in community? That's what we get to do, what we get to do. It's pretty awesome. So one of the stories in which I got a chance to connect someone, this is Connie. She came up to me. Actually, Dr. Chup was standing right behind me in Orange County. And she said, Wes! And I went, oh! She said, it's me, Connie. And I said, oh! And she goes, yeah, I can't believe I can't believe that I get to meet you. And I was like, uh-oh, I have no idea who this gal is. Ironically, her name was Connie O. So it sounded like I knew her by saying, oh, but I didn't. So I did confess that to her. And she proceeded to tell me of the great group of residents in Los Angeles she connected with, including a residency at UCLA that was filled with Christians. Blew me away. And she said, yeah, I've looped in some post-grad year one students. They just started the residency at the time because it was in June. And it was just, it's always great to connect. I like to say connect a typeface with a face because so often we're emailing and different things like that. So it was so cool to meet her. I'm like, I got to take a picture. This is incredible that I get to meet you. I later looked at the email that I had sent her like 5 months prior. And I kind of remember the story, but we're always so often connecting people that sometimes we clearly forget. But it was neat, because then I kind of journaled it, and I wrote it down and ended up sending it out to some partners. And I heard Francis Chan there. He's amazing. I've never heard Francis Chan and not been like wanting to just get on my knees. I heard Dr. Chup there, which was fantastic. He kicked off the conference. But the best part of the weekend was meeting Connie. It really was. So, yeah, what a privilege. This is what y'all are doing. And it's just one person, but it's actually a pretty big community in LA. So all the stars here, these are my regions. I exclude Hawaii and Alaska here just because it's easier and they're way out there. This is what you guys are doing. Here's some pictures of this year. You can't see all of them, obviously, but there's Colorado, top left, Colorado, Vegas, Nicaragua, Hawaii. Sorry, somebody's got to do it. Sacramento, Montana, California, Oregon, Washington. So really fun, and it's truly an honor. And you guys, what we're doing matters. What we're doing matters, and I just can't encourage you enough. And yet, we might feel like an Andrew. We just might feel like an Andrew. So right after where we left, where he says, hey, where are you staying? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So we learned that he was one of John's disciples. The other guy doesn't get mentioned. We don't know the other one. A no-name. You might feel like that. But he was part of it. And he ended up being with Andrew, who brought Peter to Jesus. He says, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ. We found him. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and he said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. Now, some people look at different texts in synoptic gospels and say, oh, well, it's different. He just called Peter, and Peter just fell down and said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. The stories can collide. If you want to know how to wrestle those together, I would love to explain it. But I know some of you Bible people are going, that's not how he was called. That's not how he was called. But Andrew was a key part in Peter's salvation, the one that really God used to write a lot of the New Testament and his disciple Mark to do some as well. So Jesus' sidekick's brother, that's quite a reputation. I'm the brother. I bet he name dropped a lot, which I do. I name drop. It helps you connect people with people you know. It just does. My kids hate it. I served as a seminary dean for 10 years. I knew almost every pastor in the Sacramento community and still do. And I would just name drop, oh, I know that church. I know that person. My kids hated it. They're like, Dad, stop name dropping. You're just trying to. But it's connection. It really is. It's connection. It's, oh, I know that person. I mean, Paul does it all the time in his letters. Name drops. Hey, this person, that person, that person. And when Paul name drops, that'd be pretty cool to have him drop your name. I imagine people drop your name. They do. As part of connection. So where can I connect others? This is my year from January to now. I think it says at the bottom, 68,311 miles, what I've traveled from January till now, which is pretty cool to say. I don't know if that's super accurate, but tripline.net is a really cool little site that allows me to track that, and then I put pictures up there so partners can see it. So lots of fun, but it was just kind of cool to picture that and go, wow, that's wild. So yeah, quite an adventure this year has been. When I go home Saturday night, the previous 100 days I will have been gone 70 of them. So I hope never to do that again. My mom broke her hip, so I was in Florida for quite a bit of time with her. But it's somebody's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I wouldn't have it any other way. This is so cool." And then I check with my wife, "Are we cool?" She's like, "Yeah, I love the bed by myself." And I'm like, "Whoa." It was funny because I got back from Madagascar last week, and then I got sick, and I woke up one day, and she wasn't there, and I'm like, wow, this is early, and she was out. She slept in the front room all week. I was like, man, gee whiz, we're still not even in the same bed, but she didn't want to get sick, thankfully. So here's two names, Andres Jimenez, and Bryce Turing. Anybody know who they are? Anybody? All right. These are the two Gold Glove winners for second base in Major League Baseball. Any baseball fans? All both of you. Good. All right. Excellent. If Doug's watching, I know he is. But they're the second, the two best second basemen. I don't know if anybody can name a second baseman, even baseball fans in Major League Baseball. They're just like Joe Morgan. Is who's your favorite team? And who's the second baseman? Joe Morgan. There you go. this is a picture of my favorite second baseman because he's on my team, Bryson Stott, right? So second baseman is what I get to do with people in our region all the time. Second basemen are not the stars of the team. That's why we don't know their name. They don't have a great arm. That's why they have to play near first base so they can throw a short distance. They don't hit very high up on the batting order. People don't buy their jerseys. Most people who go to a ballpark don't know the name of either team's second baseman before they go to the game, and usually after they leave the game, they don't know the second baseman. Sometimes, though, they're involved in the play. Actually, a lot of time, they're involved in the play. Whether there's a guy trying to steal second base and they have to intercept and tag him out, or a double play, or a pop-up, or a ball hit to the outfield, and then they run out to right outside the infield to get the ball and then figure out which base to throw it to. They have to be wise enough to do that. They're unknown, yet invaluable. And no team could win a World Series without second baseman. Just wouldn't happen. I'm convinced of it. Yankee fans would disagree, but they haven't won stuff in a while. So that's what I say we are as regional directors, but I think we all are. I think we all are as Christians. I think we all are as people who are serving healthcare professionals. We're connecting them. And I always like to say, like, CMDA is their ministry, our members' ministry. And I think that's something that helps me remember I'm serving them. I'm serving them. And in serving them, not just because they're members and paid dues, but because they are in the trenches. They're in the mission field. They are digging deep in, literally in people, but also in people's lives, their hearts, and we get a chance to serve them as second baseman. We might not be known, and I'm quite content with that. It's the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. The early church fathers apparently called Simon, I'm going to botch this, but Protokletos, which means first called. He was first called disciple, based on the text we read. So he was first called, but we don't remember him like that ordinarily. November 30th, I'm sure you all celebrated St. Andrew's Day, right? Good old Scotland. And actually, the Orthodox Church thinks very highly of Andrew to this day. But he handled being a second fiddle better than I think I ever could. It's really hard to lead from a second chair, and he wasn't even fourth. But he's somebody who's worth remembering, and he's somebody who's worth accepting that is your role. And I think we're all in that, right? We're all in that in some capacity, but I think we all are especially in our role here. Now, the cool thing about Andrew is he brought Peter to Jesus, but he brought things to Jesus as well. If we look here in John 6, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, now Philip and Andrew were buddies. We see them a lot in Scripture. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, see, he still has to get Simon Peter's brother, come on, man, spoke up, and he says, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? And Jesus is like, have them sit down. Like, you know, maybe not. I've chosen another episode. But he just says, hey, sit them down. He brought the fish and loaves. I mean, the boy did, right? But he brought the boy to Jesus. And so Andrew has this tendency in Scripture where you see him bring people and things to Jesus. Now, I'm talking about connections with members and with other healthcare professionals in areas. But I think we're also just bringing Jesus to people. And if the Holy Spirit reigns in each of us, we're bringing, you know, parts of the body of Christ together to function better with synergy. And it's invaluable. I truly believe in what we're doing passionately. So Sir Andrew has brought fish and loaves. Now, I had a weird story, and I'll explain some of these pictures here in a second. But my son was in three weddings in a matter of 6 weeks. This was back, way back. He was, I think, 18 months old. He was the ring bearer. And the third of which, he was in Neil and Danielle's wedding. So Neil and Danielle I've known for about 25 years. And Neil was a college student when I became the youth pastor of a church. And a number of years later, about 12 years later, they were called to go to Madagascar, which is like crazy. And I think one of the movies had just come out. So it was all like, oh, Madagascar and animals. And I think I pictured a little bit of that. So they were there for a number of years, came home during COVID. They actually had to leave the organization they were with due to a number of factors, but they knew they had to come back. But what they had in Madagascar was not to be anymore. They were over here on this side of the island, and they ended up going, Lord, where do you want us? So they wound up on the other side of the island. You might go, oh, that's not that far. It's like, you know, I think it's about 400 miles probably. Well, it's 2 days' drive there, which is remarkable. So they returned to the field, and one of the challenges Neil found was he didn't have a lot of accountability. There wasn't accountability like he had hoped. So he called me, he said, I want you to mentor me. I want you to help me really help discern what we're doing. And so they did not have a quote-unquote job. They had partners supporting them, wondering, what are you doing? And he was like, I feel heavy on that, but I also feel like we have to do this. We just have to do this. When they returned and tried to get all the stuff that they had in the city, about 40% of it was gone, just water damage. People didn't take care of it like they said, and they just lost so much. They have three kiddos. You can see here, there's a picture of them, two in high school, one who's 11. And some of you might know the book Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, a number of years ago. Came out, and Neil really loved it. I've loved that book. One of the things I remember was, you go to where God is at work. And so as he was discerning, he went through the book with his family, and then he was trying to brush up on his Malagasy. So he ended up translating the book for a couple. And here's a picture of the couple, Peter and Corrine. And so in translating, he called Lifeway and said, hey, would you guys want a Malagasy translation? And they're like, sure. So at some point, it'll be published there. So that was one role he had. But we were on WhatsApp for about 2.5 years now. This is just how God works, right? You get these weird connections. So we're in Cincinnati a couple years ago, and I'm sitting next to this guy. There was 1,000 people there, right? I just sit next to this guy at a plenary, and after it, he introduces himself to George and Angelica Gonzalez, and I hear Madagascar. And I had been meeting with Neil, and so I look over and go, Madagascar, like, I got a friend there. In fact, I've been talking to him quite frequently, and it was so funny. You might have thought this guy had an audience for the next 3 hours to talk about Madagascar. He was so excited, Dr. Quanbeck. And Dr. Quanbeck spent 30 years in Madagascar establishing the second largest healthcare system through the Lutheran Church called SOLFA. Unbelievable. He is a legend. His wife is a legend in Madagascar, and he couldn't tell me enough. At 88 years old, we just sat, skipped the next plenary. We were just talking and talking and talking. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. So I call Neil on WhatsApp during the national convention to say, hey, Neil, look, this is Dr. Quanbeck. Well, he was sleeping. Madagascar's 11 hours ahead, so that didn't really work out. So anyway, took the picture, and I sent it to Neil, and Neil and Dr. Quanbeck start connecting. And then they start connecting with other people. And then Mercy Ships is coming to town. And Neil goes, you know what? I know all these ministries. Maybe I can get a job with Mercy Ships. So he gets this job with Mercy Ships. And one of the things he connects ministries with with people on the ship. I got a chance to meet Dr. David Thompson. You know, he lives right near me, who founded PAX. And then Dr. Dembele, he's from Mali, a PAX grad. Somebody's like, hey, can you take him to the airport somewhere? I'm like, yeah, sure. Can I bring him to students too? So UC Davis got to hear him. He's a PAX grad, took him. And so like all these weird connections, right? And then there's this PAX site in Madagascar where Neil happened to fly with an MAF plane to deliver a day worker on Mercy Ships because he was hit by a car and needed maxillofacial surgery. It was like, you know how it is, right? God works all these things. But it's really weird when it's on the other side of the world. Like really weird. When it touches home, and then it goes over there. And then, oh, we have a regular scheduled appointment. What happened? And I felt like I was getting a chance to observe God's movement in this story unlike anything. I wish I could describe it. But it's like being, you know, part of the game, but not really in the game, second baseman, you know, I'm there, hey guys, hit the ball to me, let me hit. You really couldn't make it up. So in Madagascar, Neil's on the ship. Here's Mercy Ships, and he's on the east side of the island there. That's where the city is, Tomasina, and then second biggest city. And then they have a PACS grad who's a surgeon at a hospital right there in town. So I got to visit with Dr. Fabrice and meet him. What a cool guy. I was my hero. Like, this picture, I texted my family. I was like, I feel like I'd rather have a picture with him than Michael Jordan. I'm not kidding you. Like, I was so excited, like, to meet this guy who's living. And then to see the slum of his hospital was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, surgery room, black mold, just different than what we're used to. I know some of you who are on the field know that. And then, oh, by the way, let's fly up to that PAC center. So I got to fly in this MAF plane and land in a dirt road, and it was so cool. It was like, what are we doing? Is this really happening to me? This was like 3 weeks ago. I flew out. Neil had me come because they wanted to start a medical missions conference and kind of re-kickstart CMDA in Madagascar. I'm like, who am I? That's way beyond the West region. But it was an opportunity, and so I talked with ICMDA, with Dr. Saunders, Peter Saunders, and then he connected me with the Francophone guy, who's the regional director of ICMDA, which Sherry will be doing with North America. And then, so we were talking, we're still all in this conversation, and you're probably like, Wes, I totally lost you at Fabrice. You know, that's fine. But this is the administrative staff up there. You can see in the back, well, you can't see, but Dr. Ted Watts, who's from England, and he's been directing that and actually started the PACS program there. Just remarkable. And then the last day, which was really kind of a highlight, was I wanted to help them plan a medical missions conference. Like, think through what do they want and go with the perspective and coach Neil, because Mercy Ships has asked him to do this. Hey, with our stuff, we want, with our money and resources, we want to make a long-term impact in Madagascar. We're leaving next year. How do we do this? Well, Neil's going, We have to connect people. We got to be Andrews. And so we brought these physicians together. These are all healthcare professionals in that picture in the bottom left. And wow, it was awesome. I had an agenda. We were ready to go. I was coaching Neil. It was my job to run the meeting, and then nobody spoke English. I was like, oh my gosh. So that was exciting. And it was, we left, and we just looked at each other, and we're like, that was unbelievable. And as you know, people just want to get together. They want to get together and know they're not alone. Found out there, the lady on the bottom left is the president of CMDA that started in 2018 and has never met since because of COVID. And she just happened to she just retired from the position of CEO at Sulfa, where Dr. Quambeck had started it. And so I just said, I know Dr. Quambeck, and she almost had tears in her eyes. Oh my gosh, you do? I was like, yeah. And he's my hero. You know, it's just so amazing. Like, you can't make this stuff up, right? I mean, especially a name like Quambeck. I wouldn't have made that up. It's so humbling to be part of. There's another physician there, Dr. Marco. Got to meet with him, PACS grad. Just, oh my word, seriously, heroes to me. So we did do a little bit of monkeying around. So there was a little bit of that. Lemuring around is what they say, which was just remarkable. Starfish there, and oh man, had them all over me. It was really, really cool. So. Lastly, Andrew, it says in John 12, he brought some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we'd like to see Jesus. So Philip went to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip, what do? They go to Jesus. They go to Jesus. Keep going. And here, Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, for Andrew and Philip, my guess is they're thinking, all right, it's time. Here we go. Jesus is going to take the reign. We know his glory was on the cross. And I thought about that. Like, so often our expectations, and we live in a season of expectation, right? Advent is this anticipation and this expectation. And oftentimes our expectations get totally defeated. Anybody have family over Thanksgiving and it wasn't what you had hoped it was? Things change. And so in our anticipations, I think it is important first to bring it to Jesus and let Jesus bring himself glory which is what he did. I know I'm late on time, but you're having a blast, so I'm going to keep going. No, I'm just kidding. One of the post-resurrection story of Andrew is amazing. It's said that his bones were taken, like particular bones. His arm bone, his tooth, and kneecap, a guy named Regulus took it to Scotland, where his bones are buried to this day. And so St. Andrew's, the famous St. Andrew's there in Scotland, is there with his bones, apparently. But he was crucified. And he was crucified with ropes, not with nails, which I said was even more crazy. And so that cross, and I don't know if he was crucified sideways or not. I know there's different scholars say different things. But he was a guy who brought fish and bread to Jesus. He brought his brother to Jesus. He brought Greeks to Jesus. Leaders, he brought leaders. He brought sustenance. He brought the world to Jesus. To be like an Andrew, right? To just obey, have a vision, not be bitter when we're not the hero, and truly to live grace in a way that, hey, guess what? We all get to do as Andrews. That's what we're doing. It's pretty awesome. Let's pray. Lord, you are good, and your love endures forever. You are to be praised. God, whatever we're to gain, help us to consider it loss for the sake of Christ, to consider everything a loss except that surpassing grace, surpassing greatness of knowing you. Lord, we thank you for Andrew. Thank you for your disciples, and we pray that you will help us to live faithfully as Andrews today and as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.